نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي البر والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
الله سبحانه وتعالى to his servants, to his creation, Allah mentions his connection, his relationship. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ Allah says. Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that how much of a relationship, how much of a connection I have with my creation. They are all men, folk and people. They are those who believe and they are those also who don't believe. But the connection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with everybody. And Allah has explained this connection, this relationship, that to the people that I've created, I am aware and I'm close to the people more than their jugular vein. Closer than their jugular vein. In other words, I am so close to my servant that if you look at the distance between the person and his jugular vein, within which is his life, Allah says, this is the extent of the qurb and the nearness, that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb, close to his servants. And this qurb, this nearness of Allah, connection to Allah, that through this Allah Ta'ala completes and fulfills our needs, and we are existing in this world. And everything, every moment, every breath that we take, that Allah Ta'ala has favored us with these things. And this is the sign, this is the reflection of Allah's qurb, this is the sign of being close to Him. That every need of the human being Allah completes, fulfills. He gives us food to eat. He gives us rizq, wealth, He gives us health. Whatever we have and whatever belongs to us, He gives to us. He doesn't just give to those who believe, rather even those who don't believe, Allah gives to everybody. And on this Allah has not placed any condition that if you don't believe in me, for example, that I won't give you any food, I won't give you any rizq. There's no condition like this, no precondition that Allah Ta'ala has laid down. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his event, you probably heard this. And this was his habit, that until he would not eat food unless somebody else, a third party, was not with him, joining in eating the food. And this is how the akhlaq of a human being should be. That if the guests come to us, we get scared. Ooh, he's going to eat the food that I was going to eat. Allah Ta'ala states that the guest brings the rizq, wealth, and he also gives you wealth before he departs. Rather, the guest is the ni'mat of Allah, that he brings his rizq with him. And whilst he's departing, he's also distributing rizq to you. The more that you give to him to eat, the thawab you will attain. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he couldn't see a guest and he saw this man and he came. He wanted a guest to eat with him. He said, please come and eat with me, partake of the meal. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam started with the name of Allah. And he was quiet. And Hazrat Ibrahim said, alayhi salam, who are you? He said, I don't believe in Allah. He said, you don't believe in Allah? He said, no, I don't believe in God. I don't know who is God, he said. I have no connection with God. So obviously, this is the test of iman, and then anger comes, obviously. And this is to do with love and muhabbat, love to Allah. This is to do with consciousness, awareness, that such a person an individual who disobeys Allah, who doesn't believe in Allah. Look, in the dunya, if we have greed of the dunya, then we forget that as well. And we join in with their happiness. Yes, and then we even demonstrate love. We give gift. We give food. But we know that he's disobeying Allah, this individual. He accepts he's disobeying. He commits sin. And he does wrong actions. So what does iman and awareness say? That at least the heart should be in pain that this individual, yaar, what kind of human being is this? That, how can I have a connection with him? Because due to weakness of iman, we think that through this man I'll get success. If I don't have this relationship with him, my business won't flourish. And if I don't please this person, then how will I have a connection with him? How will I have a strong permanent employment? So in between that incident I told you, I'm just mentioning some points on top so that we can keep on understanding the subject. And the meaning of this is that the mistakes we have, the errors, may Allah Ta'ala make them far from us. That's what I'm trying to say. So two things we understand. One is this, that a person when he's eating, he should share. And also we should have a basis of iman and awareness that not just with everybody you treat the same, that we shouldn't have such a deep connection with people who have no iman. Yes, akhlaqan and good conduct you should, but with a deep heart, oh, through this person, he's going to give me success. No, no connection like that. Because who gives the success and makes our requirements fulfilled? Say loudly, Allah. That person's making Allah displeased, so why do you have connection with that person? Yes, so akhlaq, externally, yes, you have to treat people nicely. Akhlaq teaches that, doesn't matter who it is, we don't differentiate. We fulfill the need of that person. But qurb in the heart and deep heart connection should not be there. Do you understand my point? So there's dislike for this reason, not that if somebody's in hardship, difficulty, has a need, our Islam teaches us, then we don't differentiate who is my neighbor, is he a believer, not a believer. If somebody's in distress, then first it is haq and right that you go and give food to that person. You fulfill and protect the needs of that person. He's got distress. You fulfill the need of that person. But in your heart deep, there should not be muhabbat, love. Because due to Allah's order, we do this. Our Islam teaches us that to look at everybody in the same way, if they've got distress, issue, difficulty, treat them nicely. So in between, let me explain an incident so you understand. So you know that an individual, he was like this, like me. And he had some sort of weak iman, weak practice, and he was going, and on the way he saw there was a branch, like twigs. He said that people will get difficulty, they're going to walk on this path, there's a branch here, tree branch, people walk past it. He didn't think, especially in this country, oh, every man will walk past it. Yes, for example, when you see something dirty or a branch, then there'll be many people there. For example, it's not that you're doing it because Muslims walk past there. That we don't say, I'll move this because a person of iman is going to go from me, I'll do that. So he thought that Allah's makhluk, whoever from the creation walks past there, I don't want them to have any restriction, hurdle. So he removed that hurdle. He passed away. He died. And it was seen that he had arrived into paradise, Jannah, that person. Why? Because Allah said, he looked after my creation, so will I not look after him, Allah says? Will I not look after him? So this is the teaching of Islam. So to remove a difficulty for a person, to remove his distress, Islam says this, that is the biggest action for you is to do that if you want to attain success. Anyway. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to him, that eat food. He said, I don't believe in Allah, I don't believe in God, I don't know who is God. As Ibrahim Rasam said, acha, you don't believe in Allah, then leave it. Yes. He had the courage and determination. He had muhabbat, love for Allah. So he said, oh, you have to go. You cannot eat. So he left. He departed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately sent Wahi Ibrahim. For many years he worships idols, I know that. And I gave him rizq and wealth, and not one day you gave him rizq and you rejected him. Go and bring him back. It's my rizq, my wealth, I give to him. Hazrat Ibrahim salam ran after him, looking for him, come, quick, eat, please eat the food. So akhlaq has a high level. Yes, so for example, if someone says that, who is your Allah? Allah opened his heart. And he became a Muslim whilst he was eating. Though if you eat the food of the Nabi Prophet, imagine his hal, his condition. The wali of Allah, his food, if you eat food with a wali, you get forgiveness. With a wali Allah. We've seen this. And I've read this as well and I've seen this as well. Every morsel of food, we'd pull it from Hazrat, because Hazrat Sahab's hand has touched there, and we want to take that morsel that he's touched, or we want to drink what he touched his lips on, because we know he's the wali Allah, pious servant of Allah. Allah's rahmah is on this person. Even if you drink from his cup, you'll be successful from where his lips touched. So the Nabi's food, if you eat his from his dish, then imagine your condition. So this is the situation. So what was I saying? What was I mentioning? The subject was, it's come out of my mind briefly, that somebody remind me please, or have you forgotten as well? Everyone sat there intoxicated, eh? Everybody forgotten. The subject was something related to this. Suddenly it's come out of my mind, the subject. Recite Durood Sharif. So, continuing, everybody has forgotten, eh? The subject. Aqrabu ilayhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is closer to his servant more than the jugular vein of the person. This was the subject, wasn't it? Yes, so coming back to that initial point. So Allah ta'ala is so close to the human being that he fulfills all the needs, and I give the example so that we can understand. So the situation is clear, because so much Allah is close to his servant. So then the servant, that he is so far from Allah, despite Allah being close, Allah is near. Allah's qurb is near, but the servant is far from Allah. The servant is far from Allah. Every human being, Allah is close to every human being. So the situation here is that we need to make effort that we can get close to Allah. That's what we need to do. Because Allah Ta'ala says that I am very close to you, near to you, you've run away from me yourself. You've made the distance yourself. So it's our duty, say subhanAllah. It's our duty, every individual, ourselves, our life was given for this purpose. Allah says, you need to get close to me, you need to draw near to me, Allah says. Not physically, your body. Allah Ta'ala doesn't get close physically with body, rather Allah Ta'ala is close with the heart of the individual. To the heart of the individual. The heart is such a place where Allah Ta'ala says that I draw near to my servant in his heart. So that's our duty, our function, our objective, our job. We try. We try. We know all the Muslim masail. Oh, we should remember Allah. We should get near to Allah. We should get close to Allah. I should make Allah Ta'ala my friend. We all know this. And then further, we also make a bit of effort. We also make effort and we have this false hope. We have a false hope. Ibadat. Why do we do ibadat? Worship actions. All ibadat, wazaif, prayers, recitations, mujahidat, efforts, struggles, nawafil, and umrah, and hajj, and zakat. We all do this, don't we? For what purpose? So that Allah can get close to us. But Allah is not close. Allah is close, but we are not close to Allah. And this is the sign. That the sign of Allah being close, I've told you. I've told you the sign. If Allah is close, I've told you the sign. That if Allah was not close, we wouldn't get no food to eat. We wouldn't even be living on this earth if Allah wasn't close to us. Even a person who doesn't believe, you wouldn't even see anyone. This is the sign of Allah's nearness. But we aren't close to Allah. We have a false hope. We think, I prayed salah, I'm close to Allah. I did this action, this prayer, I did this ibadah, I did this amal, I'm close to Allah. We are close. Allah has given the sign of that. That you are close to Allah. That with the dawah, you have to give dalil. Yes, so what is the sign? The person who is close to Allah, he will never disobey Allah. The question doesn't arise that he'll disobey Allah if he's really close to Allah. That if a person, Allah's servant, is close to Allah, then will he disobey Allah? He becomes Allah's beloved if he's close to Allah. Yuhibbuna wa hubbuna Allah, Allah says. That you love me and I will love you at the same time. You become my beloved servant, Allah says, I'll make you my beloved servant. This is the connection, relationship between the servant and Allah. So the person who is says Allah is my beloved and I love Allah, and if you hold Allah beloved, will you disobey Allah? If you love somebody in the world, will you disobey that? Anyone in the world, say you love that person, for example. Let's say on a worldly basis, you love somebody. in the world, if you love someone in the world, in the dunya, and if that person says to you, Yaar, I'm so cold, oh, buy some bread for me, you'll run to the shop, won't you, to buy bread for that person, because love forces you to implement that request. Your muhabbat forces you to implement that request. Your mother, she serves her children, the small child is born, father gets fed up. Quickly, oh, be quiet, I gotta go work in the morning. What's this? Tee, tee, all night long. First he does dua for the child. When the child gets sick, he's screaming, nappy, this, that. It's struggle. Hard work. The man, her father runs away, but the mother, she serves the child. Why? Because Allah has instilled the love in the heart of the mother for the child. If this love is taken out, extracted, then there's no example in the world to serve the children. Yes? There's no example. She would never serve the child. Give food and persevere and have patience. So whoever loves Allah, coming to the point. And if he says, I'm very close to Allah, I'm praying salah, I'm praying tahajjud, and I'm doing X, Y, Z, and nawafil, voluntary actions and hajj, then what should he do, that person? He should be close to Allah. So there's a sign Allah has given that whoever's close to me, he will never disobey me and reject my orders. Whether he knows that Allah is going to be angry if I do this, he'll run away. How can I displease my Rabb? No way, I'm not going to do that action, he says. From the biggest of sins, all the way through the scale, stops that love between the servant and Allah. That for the worldly love, a person does so many things. There are big stories through history of people, how much they sacrifice. For example, a man who loves a woman, or a woman who has affection for a man. And we see stories of sacrifice for the dunya and a yearning and longing to attain the nearness to the beloved. So their love compared is not even an atom's weight compared to the love of Allah and His creation. Not an atom's weight. How much fraudsters we are. Imagine, don't be upset what I'm saying, but we're fake and we're fraudsters in our heart. How much fraud we commit. I'm close to Allah. If we're close, then why do we do wrong actions? Even the small sin, we say, oh, it's a small sin and this is a big sin. We've differentiated, made classes of sins that we should not, Allah Ta'ala doesn't even like so much displeasure that why, for example, in the world we say, why is he not laughing or smiling to me? Why is his mood down? Oh, this person that I like and love in the world, his mood's off today. His style of talking was not right today. It looks like he switched off today. Whoever you love, you feel that, you sense that. The senses, oh, his style changed today, his mood changed today, his manner of talking changed today. He didn't like me today. He said something bad to me. So much sensitive a person becomes, and he's so aware of that person who he or she loves. But if a person who loves Allah, imagine his hal when he's in a bad state. He will think, Allah, I'm finished. Allah, he will never go close to the sin. Allah has ordered this. He will give all sacrifices, but he'll steer away from the wrong. Say subhanAllah. Look here. Everything, there's a big fake deception and drama. We give false claims. Oh, pray salah. Or recited Quran. Oh, Ramadan, I've passed with fasting. No. So what we learn, ibadah is a great thing. Worship is a great thing. And there are effects of ibadah. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. To what I'm saying. Salah has effects. Praying salah is not a waste of time. Of course, it's a great wasila and means ibadah. The tilawat of Quran, performing hajj and umrah, a great means to success. There's no doubt in this. This doesn't mean what I'm saying, that we shouldn't do these things. Because after studying everything, we disobey Allah. After praying, we still disobey Allah. So I'm not saying we leave these actions, because obviously the success lies in these actions. But the reason is that they're not affecting our heart in a positive way when we do these actions. These ibadat, they're not affecting us positively. Salah is not giving us a positive. We pray salah, do hajj, we do umrah, and we do wazaif and prayers and recitation. We do all these actions. But even then we disobey Allah, and we are not close to Allah. We're not getting closer to Allah. There's a point here. Question. This is what we need to understand. Why is this the case? Yes, very great point we need to understand. That today in society, the biggest issue is that it will take us into hell. This will take us into the hellfire. We don't understand the Quran. My Hazrat Sahib used to say about the Quran is everything for us. Everything it is for us, the Quran. Allah has given all the learnings, all the subjects of Quran I'm sharing with you right now. أَفَلَا تَتَدَبْرُ الْقُرْآنِ Allah has explained and complained that my Hazrat Sahib used to say, the great personality my Shaykh was, he said recitation of the Quran without pondering on it, analyzing and not practicing on it is not beneficial at all. Not beneficial at all. Listen what a great statement Hazrat Sahib said, my Shaykh. That reciting Quran without pondering over it, analyzing, reflecting, without practicing the verse is not beneficial. Rather, he said ahead that reciting Quran like that, it sends a lanat, curse on that person, the Quran does. And it's a warning, it's admonishment in the Quran. Warning for that person. So the Quran has an effect, for sure. Salah has an effect, for sure. Hadith, salah is salah. Do sajda, get close to Allah. Allahu Akbar, say Allahu Akbar in salah. And be lost in Allah Ta'ala's presence. There's no greater scene than that, is there, that Allah Ta'ala has given. And where has He given this? At that opportunity where Allah Ta'ala said to His Mahbub that I met you, O Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why did Allah give this ibadah there? Well, the meeting time, the miraj. Why did Allah give the salah gift to His servants at the time of miraj? Allah said, just like you saw me, O Muhammad Sallam, here, miraj. That same way when your followers pray salah, they will meet me. That's the miraj of the mu'min, salah. But why doesn't it affect us in a positive way when we pray salah? This is the hanging question. Okay, if you ask me why we don't get affected positively by ibadah, ask. Or ask somebody. Because this is a very big thing we need to understand. I pray salah, but I hide my sins. So we are all naked here in salah when we're praying salah. We are bare. We are bare in the presence of Allah. Those who are close to Allah, when he prays salah, is there any action that can draw us nearer to Allah? The greatest and afzal and most huge action that Allah has given. There are two things Allah has given to us. The highest and afzal that Allah has given to this ummah, number one, is the Quran, number two, salah. Number one, Quran. Number two, Salah. Remember this. Both things we have in our possession. And they make us lost in Allah Ta'ala's presence and His nearness and His belovedness. The so great an effect if we implement them the way the right is due. But there's no effect. We read 15 juz, Quran, 10 juz of the Quran. Even same, we're like monkeys and animals. Still monkeys and animals, still our wild actions, still haram, still unlawful from the tongue haram, eyes haram, hands haram, heart haram, our thoughts are haram. Yes, the person who says he loves Allah, his thoughts should be 100% pure, even his thoughts. But we are sitting, that's why we're in this majlis, that's the objective of this gathering, is to learn this fact, tazkiyah. Yes, are these points impacting your heart, what I'm saying today? Am I saying right, what I'm saying today? Are we not stuck in this dunya? We are big hypocrites, munafiqs. Yes, we big-headed, I've got salah, I prayed salah, Allah accept. I will ask you, prayed salah, if it was correct, your salah, then there should have been a big impact on your life. If your Quran recitation was good, then it should have been a good impact on your life. So why did you stay far from me, then Allah says after that. The person who stayed far from me, then he will be far from Jannah. The person who stayed far from Allah in the dunya, will he go into paradise? Though, forget distance. Here is the maqam. Success is based on the nearness to Allah. So I'll explain to you why we are far from Allah. Why doesn't have an effect on us, these deeds? I ask from Allah before I speak. Allah, give me such a point that is beneficial for me and my colleagues. Allah, put this into my heart so that I can share with you. Because this point came into my heart. I requested Allah, give me something beneficial. And I've forgotten doing it because my mind went here and there in the beginning. Yes, so I went off a bit. I'm a bit down at the moment, a bit down. So I have to catch. When something comes from Allah, then you have to catch it, grab it. Yes, because today if I read a book, I could have read it again. The book says Subhanallah. Yes, in the kitab I could read again. You can read again, repeat it. But I prayed salah, in my heart this thought came. I can't write this here. And it's not that if I forget it, obviously, Allah Ta'ala will overlook that. Because obviously there's no reference. I didn't have something that I read before I came. Or is there any reference? Well, I'm telling you such a fine point that I'm sharing with you. Allah Ta'ala knows that at this moment in time, these people have a need. The society haven't come here. We haven't come here to waste time. In this moment, we have to obtain something. Receive something. And you, it's not just you. Thousands of are listening right now at this moment in time. Yeah? Through this system, women folk, men folk around the world are listening. And those who are fortunate sat here, their wives are sitting as well, who are pious, upright women. They've prepared their men folk, their children, their husbands. They said, we listen at home, you go and listen there. They say, Subhanallah. There is passion in the women of MashaAllah, beautiful people. What great homes they've got, these women folk. Tell me. That today on the night of Jummah, forget, we're not going to watch TV today. We'll stop gossiping each other. They will have gone with happily to their home, happiness, and the angels descend today. Angels, such a great gathering is this, majlis, the dhikr of Allah. You go there, they say, and we'll stay at home and attend the Ramah. You go to the masjid. So all our actions today are shorter because the preparation starts one in advance. Today there'll be dhikrullah. Such people who have a condition like this, those who love Allah, this is the objective. Them going to the majlis to say Allah's name. No, is it today? I have to sit there. It's too hard. Is this something to do? Is this how you get close to Allah? Just for the sake of it, doing something? Yes, that when you go to the shop, turn from the night time advance planning, I'm going to put the stock at the work in the shop, I'm going to get customers in the morning, we start, let me do, put the stock here. If you got a greengrocer shop, put the tomatoes there, put the apples there, put the fruit there, customers going to come, lay it out here, decorate the shop, do this, their stock. This is love. This is good love. This is the definition of love, paying attention, due care to something. Yes, and even if there's pain, a person wakes up early, going to his store, his shop business, and laying the stock out, this is called love. And the person who loves Allah, then imagine his hal for the sake of Allah, what he does that person. And are we munafiqs? Solid munafiqs. Tell me, how much nifaq is in our hearts? Hypocrisy. So why do these worship actions not affect us in a positive way? Why? Fatah of Makkah took place, the conquest of Makkah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ went to Makkah. And everyone entered into Makkah. The Kaaba into the boundary of Haram. The Kaaba and the Prophet's ring. And he was sat there. And then, subhanAllah, this is an event mentioned in Zarqani. And it's a mustanid, confirmed event. The Prophet ﷺ did tawaf. And the Prophet ﷺ did tawaf around a certain point. Around the Kaaba. And when he did tawaf, the Prophet ﷺ went towards the Kaaba and he didn't have the key. Who had the key? Usman bin Talha. And he wasn't a Muslim at that time. So even today that key has been handed down through the same family. They have the key. Subhanallah. Because Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave him that duty and assignment after he became Muslim. So call, bring the key, he came. And conquest of Makkah taking place, say subhanAllah. It wasn't a small situation. Look at the difference. These are that same place from how the Prophet ﷺ had to leave, depart, and how Allah brought him back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Istiqamah. If you're steadfast, then you will get fatah, always conquest. You will have victory. Don't get put off by minor things, obstacles, have tawakkal Allah, and stay on the path of haq. Subhanallah. So the door of the Kaaba was open. The Prophet ﷺ went inside, and what did he saw? There were pictures and but and idols, bad situation inside the Kaaba, because it wasn't the ownership of the disbelievers at that time. The Prophet ﷺ cleaned it all, with all the pictures destroyed, the idols destroyed, the zamzam was called for, and the Prophet ﷺ washed the Kaaba with zamzam, say subhanallah. And when he was totally cleaned and purified, the Prophet ﷺ said, now we'll pray salah here. Understand the point? Shall I explain to you further? Allah's Nabi Sallam, even when he went to the Kaaba, then he didn't pray Salah first. He purified the Kaaba. My brothers, tell me, if a person's heart is dirty, how will Allah come to that heart? How will Salah affect that person positively? How will Hajj affect that person positively? Do you understand the point? In the heart, if there are thousands of love for the shop, I've told you, define to you the love for just a shop, the store. If you have love for the wife, children, relatives, we do many things, forget that. For the children, what we do, forget that. Salah, we're praying, mashallah. Quran is being recited, mashallah. But why is there no effect? They don't have an effect on a life. And they came to this world to have 100% impact. They came to clean the world of these actions. Whoever touches the Quran, he has succeeded. Hudallil muttaqeen, the Quran says. Clearly the Quran says. Dhalika al-kitab. This kitab is hudallil muttaqeen. Allah says, for the muttaqeen. Say subhanallah. This is the reason. Otherwise, one salah you pray, the result Allah said clearly. Just one salah. The result of one salah that you pray. Immediately Allah gives you that do sajda and you meet me at the same time, Allah says. Meet me at the same time. Look, Allah says, there are many ways to get near to me. This is salah. And us, The topis, we wear other people's topis, we rub our heads on the floor, our ankles are black by rubbing on the ground, but we say we're close to Allah. If we're close, then why do we do sins? I've told you the sign. Give dalil with your false claim. Show the namazi who is on that right effect. That from morning till night, no action of his is in disobedience to Allah. Hunger, poverty, when does it come, tell me? When does hunger, poverty come? When does poverty and hardship come? When does distress come? At that time, when a person, he's following Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, orders, then cars don't come, planes don't come, big houses aren't made in Pakistan, in India, then big houses aren't constructed, then you don't have big bank balances. You don't have ease and comfort, luxury, no. Because it comes, such a time comes then in the life of that person that whoever obeys Allah and makes effort, say Subhanallah, then all comforts evaporate, then Allah's love comes, and then he promotes himself via Allah Ta'ala's love. One salah, he says Allah Akbar, stands up, then he has no fear or distress. I don't have this in the dunya, I don't have that in the dunya. He knows Allah will give the roti, Allah will give the bread. He knows this is called satisfaction. But do we want to stay munafiqs or do we want to become Muslims? Tell me. Do you understand the point? That what is our salah has no effect. What is our sujood, they have no effect. What ibadah do we do, it has no positive effect. What ilm, knowledge do we have, there's no effect of our ilm, knowledge. Tell me. Why? Because we have Quran in our hearts, we have Quran on the tip of our tongues, we have Quran in our shelves at home. And there's no greater thing than the Quran. There's no greater action than salah. Masjids we have. We have azan. Great, fantastic, beautiful melodies, azan, talawad. But zero impact on our lives. And the person who has the impact, he will be closest to Allah. One salah, I'm telling you the impact of salah. One salah has this impact, that due prostration to Allah, Allah says, you are mine, you are close to me. Immediately, such events like this, then tell me, if this is really the case, then if on every sajda your nearness exceeds, then imagine my Hazrat's maqam. On every umrah, if your status is going high, then imagine the experience of the person that we had understood that Hazrat Sahib used to sit for so long. In his old age, he was so old, he was weak physically. Once I took Hazrat's hand, nothing, maybe 100 degrees Fahrenheit, definitely he had a fever. Definitely, until today. Remember these, have these memories. Subhanallah. 70, 80 years, and I ran, and I went at that time, there were short dispensaries and like pharmacies, I was desperate, I left everything, I ran here, left, right, everywhere. Is there any doctor, is there somebody here? I'd love for Hazrat Sahib and regard. And I left the haram. I went outside, I said, that's how much fever, temperature. And he sat there from morning until night, his night is falling, and there's no food, no drink, nothing. I ran looking, Hazrat, medicine. Hazrat said, no, medicine is fine, it's okay. So I ran, I remember until today, that prescription that the doctor gave, I kept it to myself, Subhanallah. So he prescribed some tablets, go and buy these tablets. I said, he's got a strong fever. He wrote the medicine and I kept that paper in my pocket and I'll get benefit. And even until today, I look at it and I press it to my eyes, that paper. These are those formulas that will take me into Jannah, those experiences, the khidmats, the service actions, without any precondition, nobody there to see me, I had nothing, my eyes be sacrifices, oh Allah, your rahmah and mercy, they gave me an opportunity, Hazrat Sahib, Allah gave me an opportunity that I could touch the hand of his wali and serve him, that he had no need for my service. So I had total yakin, that I know my amal weren't there, I had total yakin that these actions give the success to a person when he gives khidmat to his teacher. These are the actions that I made. I ran, and until today I've kept that paper, that prescription. One day I'll show it to you as well. Ziyarat. Hazrat, mashallah, I brought it back, that medicine. Hazrat touched it as well. Hazrat said, tablets, 3-4 tablets he prescribed. And Hazrat had a sore throat and a flu, nose was running, couldn't breathe. He sat there. Why? Why was he sat there? Because why was he persevering through the difficulty? Wallahi, from morning till evening he wouldn't eat anything. He sat there in front of the Kaaba. And the question does arise, drinking water or eating. What's water? What's the reason for this? The reason was this. He was on such a high status of qurb that we are looking at the Kaaba, but he's looking at the owner of the Kaaba. Yes, Rukna Yemeni used to sit in front of the corner, you know, the Yemeni corner. And subhanAllah, imagine he was intoxicated by the sight of what you're seeing. He wasn't cared about my water and food. He said, what is this you brought? I said, some tablets. He said, what tablets? I said, if you take the tablets, the fever will go. He said, is it? No water. Subhanallah. 4 or 5 tablets, Hazab just put them into his mouth, he swallowed them, then he sat in Muraqabah. And subhanAllah, where those tablets were, without water, without that, the tablets went inside. MashaAllah. Why? What was all of this? This was Qurba Ilahi, nearness to Allah. And what did Hazrat Sahab do? What action did he do that he attained the nearness to Allah? What action did he do that the jaliyah, the magnificence of the Kaaba came in front of him? Can there be any greater place than the Kaaba? So it's amazing that we do tawaf of the Kaaba, we kiss it, we touch it, multazam, we press it, zamzam, water, we drink so much and then we come back with zamzam, and then we continue with the haram actions, haram things, we look with our eyes, we look at haram, we fight, we quarrel, we lie, we backbite, we talk nonsense. Why? Because we're munafiqs. We have not grabbed the deen the way that Allah Ta'ala has given us the deen. Deen is that the first day when the Holy Prophet went to the Kaaba, he gave us the hint. The first clean your heart, then pray salah. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand? Is your heart being cleaned? Do you understand the value of cleaning the heart? This is the value. وَذْكُرُوا الْحَكَثِيرَ لَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Zamzam he cleaned and purified the Kaaba. Allah ta'ala states that the mu'min's heart I purify with dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. The water of cleaning the heart is dhikrullah. We say, what is dhikr? Oh, mad people, they just keep doing zikr morning and evening. Bid'ah innovation zikr, we say. Yeah? We say this, don't we? Bid'ah and innovations, he's doing this. Someone says, is this bid'ah? He says, that's bid'ah. They say they're mad and they're talking loudly and doing zikr loudly. What is a waste of time? Say subhanAllah. Do you understand today what is zikrullah? Yes, have you given sacrifice for the sake of zikr? From the coming to home to here, it's hard for you. My Mawla, when he's made us understand, not 1 year, many years, alhamdulillah, would travel from here to do ziyarah of Hazrat Sahab, my Sheikh. Many years, because I attained zikr through his company. 5 minutes we live away from the masjid, we can't even bear to come to zikr. The morning zikr is thousands of times you have to beg someone to come to zikr in the morning. Who are you preparing for? What is the demand of life, my friends? What is the demand of life on us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how? That the more you focus on Allah and make effort for Allah, the more Allah will pay attention to you. The more you go far from Allah, make the distance far from Allah, then Allah will be far from you. This is the measurement gauge, the ruler. Yes, find some funds for some, Allah says. So what's the need, my servant? Allah says, I'm close to you already. Is this a small favor? Allah says, I'm already close to you than your jugular vein. And you are not close to me. It's not the same vice versa. The ibadah that you bring to me, Allah says, they are those actions, worship actions, I'm not close to you, Allah says. They're all fake actions and a drama, munafiqat, hypocrisy. If your ibadah had impact and effect, positive, then you would be closer to me and I'd be close to you. Yeah, you are an empty box. Allah says, nafs has overtaken you and destroyed you. So first action of Islam when he purified the Kaaba, O believers, O Muslims, men and women, first and foremost your task is you need to purify your heart with the dhikr of Allah. Grab hold of zikr. Grip hold of zikr. Go into the service of a teacher of zikr. Go into his sohbah time and time again, to his company. Sit next to him. Take hold of his company. Draw near to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels, he sends a jamaat of angels. That Allah sends them to the earth. The jamaat of angels. Listen to this. And they're wandering around, flying around the angels all day long, all night long around the world. They're flying around the angels, the jamaat. All day and night. The angels, these are those things that the Prophet has exposed to us. We didn't know these things, that the angels fly around the world. Astaghfirullah. Na'uzubillah. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi, we don't believe in what he's saying? We don't have belief in what he's saying? Tell me. We say, the Prophet said, the angels, they wander around the world, they fly around the world, Allah has given a duty, that is their duty, their task. The khas, special jamaat of the angels. Oh, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi, what do they do? This hadith I'm sharing with you, you would have read this hadith. The Prophet said, Allah has given them a task, that go and wander around the world and look for those people. Where are the majalis of dhikr taking place? The people, not the people who are doing dhikr, the halaka zikr. Halaka is sitting close to each other, sitting next to each other and doing the dhikr. Not that one sitting there, one's in that corner, one sitting there, and then you think, no, halaka dhikr, circle of dhikr. Halaka is, you know, when you surround something, envelope, and you sit close, joined together next to your sheikh, and the fares will come to you. The fast will come to you. No, we're scared. And no, I don't want him next to me. Look at the gaps we've left in between. Someone sat right at the back. No one said next to each other. Come forward. Close to each other. Join together. This is our situation today. Negative. Ask the person, what's your problem? Why have you left a gap there? Yes, this is against the halakha of zikr. Thousands of times, many times, but we have takabbur and pride and we don't care. Many years we come, we don't get benefit from zikr. Oh, servants of Allah, the words I share with you, listen to what I'm saying and understand what I'm saying. I'm not giving a speech, takreer. Understand and do amal on my words. Where we stay like monkeys and animals, just drop our jaws, then from tomorrow morning we're the same, in the evening we're the same. That when we see a gap, you should fill it yourself, join together, sit together, have a majlis, circle of gathering, someone sat there, 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 and you have heard this many times. It's not that you haven't heard this, many times you've heard this, but now we don't sit together, join together. It was nafs, desires, takabbur, pride. Why should I sit like this? I have no need to sit together. I don't need to do the majlis. We don't want to move 2 inches to earn some sawab. This is called kibr and pride. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's benefit, that's why I'm telling you, there's no benefit. You can sit on the roof and listen to dhikr if you want. There's no difference to me. But Allah's Nabi has advised us, halaka dhikr, sit together when dhikr takes place, sit together. This is the adab, the manners. Manners of the halaka. How? That for example, when you get something, when you attain something, that for example, come, make a line, a queue, we all join the queue, one by one, single file, because a car's going to be given to us. Yeah, money's going to come. If there's food, look how we'll stand in a straight line, so we can get food quickly. We'll stay close to each other, we'll get joined together, for the sake of food. Why? Because we are doing it for the stomach. When there's spiritual hunger, Allah's Nabi said that you will also get spiritual fulfillment, if you sit together, join together. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Say tarbiyat mashallah, in parallel I'll do it. Mashallah, I'm so happy that you've come forward and sat together. May Allah elevate their status, those who have sat up and come, who have obeyed their Shaykh's words. Otherwise takabbar would be at the end. Allah will say, go. I like this action of yours, that you fulfill the request. Maybe through this you will get the salvation, forgiveness. What else is there? Allah's order that we're implementing. We've taken the kibra out of heart. Otherwise you're sat at the back. You all can hear you from there. The back. Okay, but do what Rasulullah has prescribed to us, advise us. What was I saying? That the angels are wandering around the world day and night. They're wandering. Allah has given an order. Go in the world and look for the halakha, the majalises of dhikr. That's it. That's the order. And give the rapport back to me. Rapport back to me. Allah says, Allah is khabir basir. He knows. But Allah enjoys listening to the report of the angels. Why? Because these are the words of my beloveds. And when the angels come back and report to me, Allah says, I enjoy listening to the report. This is how Allah loves those who are the dhakirin. So the angels, they wander around, they fly around looking, where's the halakha of dhikr in the world, planet earth? And when they see from high above, oh, in this masjid, they sat here, the dhakirin, everyone's left, they prayed maghrib, they're gone, oh, let's go and do gapshap, talk, chit-chat, oh, we don't need to do zikr, these people, they're wasting time, but we've come and we've sat down, alhamdulillah. So they look, they see the gathering, suddenly the angel says, oh, there's a majlis down there, this hadith. He calls out, he shouts, oh, and their voices, they vibrate across the globe. He says, oh, listen, across the universe, Dal, Hina, come here, look, quickly, he shouts to the other angels, Dal, Hina, quickly, hurry, wallahi, for the sake of Allah, quickly, he calls the other angels, beckons them, they listen, they fly to him, look, we've attained our duty, we've fulfilled our duty, we've got success, Allah gave us a duty, we have to go back to Allah quickly, and give a report, Allah will be happy when we report back positively, Allah gave us a task, and we fulfilled that, we found it, so they look at that gathering, and then they go back, and then, they come to the gathering, and then they envelop that gathering, all 4 sides. This is what Rasulullah has told us, you can believe it or not, but this is what happens when you come in the morning, in the evening, in the halakha after zuhur, whenever you sit down in the form of a gathering, halakha behind your sheikh, suddenly this scene takes place, divide it, those who lose out, who don't attend, and those who have the reward. Allah invites the people in the world. There's no problem. You can't be equal. You can't be equal in hereafter. Allah is the we. Allah says you can't compete darkness and light together. There's no comparison. Allah says in the Quran, those people who see and those who can't see, there's no comparison. There's a big difference. And the darkness and light, there's a big difference. Those who do dhikr in the halakha and those who don't join the halakha dhikr, imagine their difference in hereafter. Allah says you won't even get to the dust on their feet. So isn't this, aren't we fortunate and lucky people? Aren't we? What is this? This is the barakah, the blessings of the company of the walis of Allah. This is the barakah of my shaykh, due to which we are sitting, due to whom we are sitting here today. Me and you were sat here today. This is called barakah of the sohbat. Is this not rahmah of Allah? Mercy of Allah? My friends, Allah's rahmah, you attain from the company of the wali of Allah. Look at this great rahmah we're getting now. Angels come, they witness the gathering and the report back to Allah. Then they surround that gathering. They widen the wings. Then they write a report. This person, this person, this person, his name, his name, his name. They record the names of the attendees. And they have to go back to Allah and report with the names. This is not a story. This is reality, I'm telling you. So what should I tell you now? So they say, come on, come on, come on. Soon as dhikr gathering ends. And then they ascend back with the report. They go to the court of Allah. Says, have you come? Yes, Allah, we've come back. Allah's asking himself, where have you come from? Subhanallah. Allah knows. Sometimes, you know, for example, in the world, when you have someone you like and you ask, acha, what happened then when you met him? And then what did he say then? What did she say then? And what did he say then? And what else did you talk about? This happens, isn't it? Yes. For example, if you like your Hazrat, what did Hazrat say when the majlis was happening? Acha, did he say anything else? Or did he say anything about me? Did he ask about me? And even if you have love, then you'll ask questions like this, won't you? Yes? Those who have love, because muhabbat, it asks this question. Love. Anyway, let the child sleep. Don't pester the child. MashaAllah. So, where did you come? Allah, you sent us to the world. We've come back from planet Earth. Achah, you've come from Earth. Why did you go to the Earth? Allah asked them. So Allah, you gave us the duty, the task. We went looking with the angels of the dhikr gatherings. And when the halaqah of dhikr takes place, we went, you told us to go and look for it. Allah says, okay, this was your duty. Then what did you do? Allah says, Allah, we looked for them and you found them. Oh, did you find them? Allah says, oh, tell me what is their status, condition. Imagine, this is the hal of what Allah will ask. Will you come tomorrow morning to dhikr or not? Tell me. Yes, this is the reality. But where's the munafiq? He never comes. Hypocrite never comes. The person who knows that I need to create impact from my ibadat, he's the person who cleans his heart. The person with the iman will do that. Munafiq one, he goes, oh no, no, run away from it. Oh, we're forgiven already, my salah is good enough. Look how many hadith are coming, Quran, hadith, I'm sharing with you the knowledge. And I'm telling you, this is how we should pray salah. The reaction of our salah should be this. Then, subhanallah, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. They say, Allah, we have to give you a report. They were the CID. CID gives full report, undercover. Say, Allah, we went here, here, here in the world. This man, this man, this man, this man, son of this man, of this man, of this man. They give the length, the sanad, the chain. Even their father, forefathers are forgiven, those who sat here. Yes, when they ask, their ancestors are forgiven. Make your niyyah correct when you come. Okay. I'll say, what happened? Allah, this man, this man, son of this man, this man. And they present the names of the attendees in the court of Allah. I said, what did they do? They say, Allah, they were all sat in dhikr of Allah. They were immersed in dhikr. Acha, Allah says, is it? They were there. What were they asking for, Allah? Say subhanallah. Asal Jannah. Allah, they were asking and requesting paradise. Now here a beautiful point Allah brings up. What is this? The angels, Allah is questioning the angels here. Allah Ta'ala is grabbing hold of the angels. With love, with a beautiful way Allah grabs hold of the angels. And Allah says, what were they asking for? Allah says, the angels reply, Jannah, Allah, paradise. Here then Allah Ta'ala questioned them. Jannah, did they see paradise? Subhanallah, say subhanallah. Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaib. In the Quran Allah announced. Who are those people who believe in the ghaib? Who are the muttaqeen? Those without seeing, they have iman in their hearts. Without seeing. Another point comes out of it then. Another point comes out of it. What is that point? That dhikr of Allah and yaqeen has a strong connection with each other, these two actions. If you want that iman, you would have developed that faith that you have no need for dalil and proof. Allah has ordered, yes, I'm going to do it straight away. Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghaibi. That I believe, I accept, and I practice that dalil. To develop this iman, Allah has given us the hint that has he seen paradise? Allah questions the angel. Then how did he have so much yaqeen that and believe that there is paradise and he hasn't seen it? This is what zikr develops, that yaqeen. Subhanallah. That's what develops yaqeen in the heart that Allah is present. Don't commit sins. That's why he doesn't disobey Allah. That's why he doesn't commit the sins. That's why he doesn't consume haram. Do you enjoy what I'm saying? This Thursday night is a great gathering, isn't it? There's a night of Jummah. What a beloved gathering we sit down. Beautiful discussions we have, mashallah. So zikrullah, it develops iman and a person strong. Yu'minun. Bil ghaib, without seeing, he has the strong iman. Dalil is in this point, in this verse. The hypocrisy is eradicated. The more zikr you do, the more hypocrisy will go far from you. Allahu Akbar. And then further Allah says a beautiful thing, that you are in opposition, we are angels. When I told you I'm creating man, and you opposed Allah, we do your zikr, Allah, we do your tasbih. You said this, O angels, didn't you? This is what the angels said to Allah. Allah Ta'ala, then he said, now Allah says the reply, that you have no achievement. You used to see paradise, hell. You used to see me as well. You knew about everything. You had no achievement. Achievement is those human beings, Allah says. Those human beings, they are reciting. Allah says, have they seen paradise? What they're asking? Allah, the angels saying, Allah, they haven't seen Jannah. Then why are they asking for Jannah? Because their yaqeen is so strong. Just like they are watching Jannah. Because you said about Jannah, Allah, they believe in Jannah. Allah, they're afraid of you. You said you'll go into hellfire. So Allah, they're afraid of you. Have you read this hadith before? No, you wouldn't have read this hadith in this manner. Can you get Mulana Sahab? Have you read the hadith like this? So let's go beyond now. Further. He said, okay. So they haven't seen paradise. Okay, they haven't seen paradise. They were asking Allah. Allah says, fine. Allah, angels understand as well that now they also being educated and aligned, realigned. Allah says, then what happened? Who were they seeking refuge and protection? They said, Allah, we want refuge. We want to be saved from Jahannam. A man comes back. Same question. The person who does dhikr and he develops iman that he wants to be saved from the sins was the sign to the nenes. Well, I'm telling you, defining to you. That that we don't even fill in the tazkiyah sheets. There are many monkeys and animals sitting here. They don't even fill in their sheets properly. They don't want to be saved. Oh, my brothers, have brains, you'll be saved. Nifaq will come out of your heart. The words that I'm saying, do amal on these words. Tazkiyah sheets, follow that system. It's a fantastic system. Don't be jahil, don't be ignorant, don't be stupid. Be intellectual. Be intellectual, have wisdom, leave your nafs. Either break off from my hand and leave me. Or if you have that connection, then obey what I'm saying. Do amal what I'm saying. Because I'm telling you beneficial things, even if it's hard or easy, doesn't matter. The path to the akhirah will be defined to you and nothing else. Tazkiyah sheets, follow them. Monkeys, why do you go into takabbur? Why, I swear by Allah, such azabs of the hereafter. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, such punishments, nobody will save us from them. Nobody. And what is it? Sari'ul hisab. Very soon we will arrive to them. Very soon we will arrive to them. And then we will regret and we will not be able to go back. That's how big an ease Allah has given to us today. The definition of ease and the path. So don't go into takabbur. Don't follow your nerves. Become human beings. Become human beings. Why are you living a fake life and a drama and deceiving yourself? You are deceiving yourself, nobody else. These verses of the Quran, 10 surahs we pray, you can become a proper human being just by reading 10 surahs or 10 pages. So Allah says that, how did they believe? We say we believe in Allah, we believe in Allah. Allah says, no, you don't have iman, the proper iman. Is the Quran not telling us this? You're talking rubbish. Allah says, you don't believe correctly the way you should believe. So the angel say, Allah, he wanted to be saved from Jahannam. Allah says, is it? Then Allah ask again, has he seen hellfire, that person? And the angel say, no, Allah, he didn't see hell, the person in the majlis. But he had yaqeen, he developed his yaqeen. So due to the fear of hell, they don't lie, they don't backbite, they don't consume haram, and they will die hungry. They don't do any, don't go with their feet to any wrong action that causes your displeasure, Allah, that will take them to Jahannam. Is this our iman today? Tell me. How many days are left in our life? We need to make effort. Should we? Shouldn't we try? Tell me. So Allah Ta'ala then asks after that, acha, is this the case? They were asking for this. Then Allah gives the answer. That you one day came to me and you bore witness. Allah says, I make you witnesses today. Oh angels, Allah says. I make you witnesses, become witnesses. Why are you going to be witnesses today, angels? Subhanallah. The millions and millions of angels will be your witnesses when you rise on the day of judgment. And they will intercede. And they put the request just due to this halakha of zikr. Just millions and millions of angels who've witnessed, and Allah will say, become witness. They'll say, yes, Allah, we are witness. How can we know? They'll put their hands up, their wings up. Allah says, are you witness? They'll say, ya Allah, we will testify on this fact. Allah says, then listen, I have forgiven all of these people. I've forgiven whoever was in this halaqa with the connection, whether he was in America or in Germany, whether he was in Spain, whether in Africa, Hindustan, India, or in Pakistan, or in Bangladesh, or in Malaysia, every place wherever I'm saying they are present in this halaqa right now in these countries I'm mentioning to you. I'm telling you the truth. And all those people, I says, I've forgiven them. So is this expensive for you to come here? Is it hard? Allah says, I've forgiven those people. Forgiven, beyond forgiven. Now listen, beyond that. What a beautiful point. Look. Either I've forgotten this incident was coming to mind. A beautiful, beautiful points are coming in my mind. Over and over. This is called from Allah. Otherwise, I could have finished before. It would have come out of my mind. I didn't know what I was going to say to you. I would have forgot. Recite Durood Sharif and the barakat comes again into the mind. Recite Durood Sharif. Okay. So, for example, it was our gathering, there was a person in our gathering, I think, earlier, that it spoiled that flow earlier on. Somebody maybe came, a naughty person with a bad intention, bad niya. So listen about that as well. So the angels are angels, and they will write our names, and they'll go back. They'll say, Allah, we forgot to say one thing. We haven't forgotten, but we want to say one thing. Allah says, yes, give the report. They say, Allah, there was a man in that gathering, this has also been announced already that they're forgiven. Finish. After that, they say, Allah, but there was one man, person, he was doubtful. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. They say, Allah, he just came for the sake of it. He just sat there for the sake of it in the gathering. He didn't have yaqeen, belief in zikr. And I don't know why he sat there. He sat far, maybe the back. And he was in the gathering. He was in the gathering. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala gives the announcement, the reply. Allah says, he was there? They'll say, yes, Allah, he was there. But he was, you know, a bit broken down. Allah says, due to this malajah barakah, that no one leaves this gathering in loss. Nobody. Allah Ta'ala says that this is the wali of Allah. This is his majlis, his gathering. No one leaves this gathering with loss. Rahmah will definitely come to the person. Allah says, I forgive that person as well. So here, a great small point I'd like to share with you before I conclude. That look, Allah Ta'ala's walis, his friends, their status is fantastic. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Sahib Rahmatullah Malal elevated status and brought Rahmah on his grave. And once he was present, there was a gathering. I'll share an event of his with you. The friends of Allah and their value. Value the walis of Allah. Value them. So he, Hazrat Haji Sahib, somebody questioned him a weird question. He said, Hazrat, that this, you know, walis of Allah, the gatherings of the wali of Allah, and people put their, for example, graves near to the walis of Allah. Why do they do this? For example, there's a grave of wali Allah. Why do people ever desire that I also want a grave next to a wali Allah? Why do they want their grave to be near to the wali of Allah's grave? Haji Sahib, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, great wali Allah, great teacher. And he lowered his head and he was silent. Went to Maraqabah, probably. And the whole gathering's there, people are there. And then, there was his khadim, his attendant. He said, that it's hot, can you put the fan on? That, you know, there's some, at that time, you know, they used to put the fan on, maybe in the ceiling. He said, I'm a bit hot, just put the fan on. Or somebody would blow the fan, wave the fan. And he put the fan on, and the fan came on, and the wind came. Then he questioned the khadim, the attendant. Hazrat Haji Sahib, that who is this fan giving effect to, benefit to? He said, he's giving the blow of the wind to you. He said, Subhanallah. He said, who is the fan giving benefit to? He said, he's giving the blow of air to you. Because you said you wanted some air. Subhanallah. He said, is it coming to me, the benefit? He said, yes. And what about those who are there? He said, is the wind coming to you? They said, yeah, we are also getting the benefit to all the air coming from the fan. That is coming towards you, the direction, but also it's reflecting and coming to us. He said, where's that man who asked the question? He said, it's me. He said, do you understand the answer now? He said, do you understand the answer? The wali of Allah, if Allah sends rahmah and mercy onto the wali Allah, then the person who sat next to him, then even the rahmah of Allah reaches to that person. Subhanallah. What a great answer. My brothers, 2-3 things in this majlis today we have learnt. Number one, the first and foremost, number one, what do we need to do? We need to clean our hearts. Just like Rasulullah ﷺ purified the Kaaba, purify your hearts from all dirt and impurity, and the heart is purified. The Zamzam, the Prophet ﷺ washed the Kaaba, and the heart is washed with Dhikrullah. And Dhikrullah you learn from where? Attain from where? Where do you get Dhikrullah from? From Hamza? From Ambala shop? From the meat shop will you get Zikr? From Khwaja meat shop? All the names I know, I'll just tell you the names of the meat shops around it and the grocery shops. From park stores you'll get Zikrullah. You will go there, don't you? Yeah, I haven't met Zikr, learned Zikr from there up till today. You won't get Zikr from none of those stores. I didn't get Zikr because where do you get Zikrullah from? The Wali Allah, from his store, the store of the Wali Allah. Allah, you will learn Allah's name and get his name is from the store of the Wali Allah. Go and look. I will also look to find a Wali Allah. So then put your needs in front of him, that please introduce me to Allah and become a fakir, a beggar in his company. Do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the value of what we've discussed. And our time, spend your time in the dhikr of Allah. Wherever you get to halaqa majlis, suddenly jump there. After that, you will get a message that Allah says, I've forgiven you. That's it. Come from far, even if it's a small distance, a far distance, have courage, determination, do mujahada. People did big, big mujahada to travel, to learn dhikr. So many miles, 200 miles, Mahazad had nothing to eat. Fazal Ali Qureshi, Ramdari, my sheikh's sheikh, and Hazrat Fazal Qureshi used to go, Hazrat Sirajuddin Sahab, so many hundreds of miles from Miskinpura, 300-400 miles far to see his sheikh. Just for this reason, that he knew that Allah forgives the person when he goes, was Allah's created the means. We? Oh, have you prayed salam? I'm forgiven. Oh, I've done this today, I'm forgiven. And, you know, deception, we got a certificate of forgiveness, we think. No. No. Clean your heart first, then pray salah. Subhanallah. Then see the impact and enjoyment of salah. Subhanallah, great enjoyment of salah. This is that enjoyment from salah. Allah says, my mahbubin, the jamaat of his mahbubin, the greatest jamaat, the greatest jamaat. Who are they? The anbiya, the prophets. And to his prophets, Allah, until today they pray salah in their graves, the prophets. Which is a beloved action. Allah gives. Allah says, Prophet says, Allah can't leave this. Please Allah allow us to continue praying salah. This was the action that gave us your didar, your sight. Even today they pray salah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he called his mahbub, beloved, say subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he invited his beloved to himself, he said, do an action. When Allah likes something, he says, all you together, prophets, that my prophet, my beloveds come to meet me. So first do the action that is the means to get to me in the dunya, that people run after me in the dunya. Do the action. All the prophets were gathered, assembled, and the Holy Prophet was made the Imam, and the Prophet was told, you lead them in Salah. Subhanallah. How great an action is Salah, tell me. Salah was first prayed when they assembled, then come to me, O Prophet. Why? Because in the dunya you pray Salah, so the people of the world, when they get Salah, my Marfa, my Nenis, Miraj will come through Salah. And your maqam is this, O Muslim, that if you want to come to a high standard, then ask for my name is through Miraj of Salah. So this is how great is Salah. But napak, impure person, I told you. The Kaaba was impure, the Prophet didn't pray Salah there. So purify your hearts first. That's the maqsad of doing dhikr. Not to become Wali Allah. Not to become a sheikh. You do dhikr. Not to become a khalifa, deputy. Not to run the khanqah. I want to do dhikr. Oh, allow me to do dhikr. Allow me to run the khanqah. All of this is nafs and shaitan and hypocrisy of a person. These things, run away from these things. Do dua, that I don't need nothing. Allah, Allah, accept Allah, accept. Bring la into your heart. Accept. Allah, accept for one thing. That Allah, take all the idols of the love of the dunya out of my heart. Allah, break all the idols of the dunya. You have thoughts in your heart. Allah, destroy this thought in my heart. Allah, how did this come to my heart? That through the dhikr of Allah, purify your heart. How can it be in your heart? I want to be pious and nek and pious and host gatherings and become a wali Allah. No. All of these things are munafikat and hypocrisy. The person, when he has these desires, they will take you to Jahannam if you don't purify your heart. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين تعالى يا سيدنا النبي بالامين يا الله اپنے فضل کرم سے میرے مولا اپنے کرم سے میرے مولا تو ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ صغیر اور کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہم سب کی تو بخشش فرما دے Ya Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah, tu humse razi ho ja. Ae mere Mola, tu humse razi ho ja. Ya Allah, hamare nekiyon ko bada de, kam na farmana. Ya Allah, hame izzat naseeb farma, zaleem na farmana. Ya Allah, hame ata farmana, mehroom na farmana. Ya Allah, aap par tarjeeh dena, par upar tarjeeh kisi ko na dena. Ae mere Mola, tu razi ho ja humse aur hame razi farma de. Ae mere Mola, aakhirat ki manzil aasan farma de. Maut aasan farma de. قبر کے معاملات آسان فرما دے اے میرے مولا اپنی رضا کا سرٹیفکیٹ نصیب فرما دے اے اللہ اپنی خوشنودی محبت کے سرٹیفکیٹ نصیب فرما دے اے میرے مولا اے میرے مولا جب تک زندہ رکھے اپنی اور اپنے حبیب کی اطاعت میں ہمیں زندہ رکھے میرے مولا یا اللہ ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لے نفس و شیطان کی شر سے بچا لے یا اللہ جو آج باتیں ہمیں سنی اور کہیں میرے مولا ان سب پہ ہم عمل کرنے کی توفیق فرما اور یہ ہمارے لیے عمل کرنا آسان فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ جن بیماروں نے دعا کے لیے کہا ہے میرے مولا ان بچوں کو ان عورتوں کو مردوں کو سب کے مولا شفا کامل آج نصیب فرما یا اللہ جو ہمارے گھر میں بیمار ان کو بھی شفا نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھر میں آسودگی نصیب فرما برکتیں نصیب فرما رحمتیں نصیب فرما ذکر کے نور نصیب فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.